in regards to all the hustle and bustle that's out there. Matthew 6:33, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Matthew 6:33. And it will get us filled in and caught up. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And in your books, what page are you on? You are on, page 19. And we'll get that filled in today. And go to the Lord. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Everybody there? Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and quote that. If you can quote it, or if you have to read it, read it. Amen. Matthew 6:33. We'll say the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference. Here we go. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Now, Father, bless now the Sunday school hour. God, help us with the holidays and the mounting opportunities for stress to build up in our lives. Lord, to cast all our cares upon you, Lord, because you truly do care for us. Bless now the morning. Help us to receive a blessing. God, help our hearts to be knit with yours. Lord, help us to check our cares at the door and to make sure that we're truly seeking you, to transfer our cares unto you, knowing that you do care for us. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, couple things here we're going to try to do today. Number one is finish up Roman numeral number 3, and then they give you some helps in here to help out with your, I guess if you would, making some practical steps to develop a passion for the Word of God. And so we'll go over those quickly as well. But right now, for those that need to fill in your book, let me give you those Roman numerals again. Talking about victory over stress, Roman numeral number 1 was the pace, P-A-C-E, of Mary. The pace of Mary. Then A, we found out it's a restful pace. A restful pace. Then B, it's a renewing pace. A renewing pace. Then we saw that she had to renew her focus. Renew her focus. Or renew your focus, as it may be. Renew her faith, or renew your faith, as it may be. And then renew her fervency, or renew your fervency. Then Roman numeral number 2 was the place of Mary. The place of Mary. We found out that she had a humble place and was at the feet of Jesus, acknowledging his superiority over her. A humble place. But then we found out it was an honorable place as well. An honorable place. We talked about how you're not going to get any awards for sitting at the feet of Jesus, but you will get rewarded in heaven. Honorable place. Then let's go into Roman numeral number 3. It's going to be the purpose of Mary. The purpose of Mary. And the two blanks there are going to be A, it's a spiritual purpose, and it's an eternal purpose. But they do give us some helps to help develop that. The purpose of Mary, a spiritual purpose, and an eternal purpose. The purpose of Mary. Now, I asked you last week, and I'll start off with that again. Ask yourself this question. What was your purpose for coming here this morning? Say, preacher, just to put a check in the box because Christians are supposed to come to church. If that's your purpose, that's exactly what you're going to get. What was your purpose for coming? Did you come really to worship God? Everything that we do has a purpose behind it. Why we get up, why we go to bed, why we marry, why we don't marry, why we have children, why we don't have children, why I go to this supermarket and not this supermarket, why I buy this brand and not this brand, why I do what I do. Everything that we do has a purpose behind it. And so when spiritual things come into our lives as well, we have to ask ourselves, why am I doing what am I doing? What is my purpose behind it? Why do I go to school? Why do I go to work? Man, don't work, don't eat, amen. We understand that. So the purpose would have to be asked, why do I come to Sunday school? Why do I come to a.m. service? Why do I come to p.m. service? We ask, we know fellowship is good, fellowship is important. But it's more than that. It's to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to adore him. It's to hear more about him, is to learn more about him. And everything that we do has a purpose. And so we ask the question, why was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus? Anybody guess to answer that? Why was Mary sitting? What was her purpose? Why did she want to sit at the feet of Jesus? Diana? To learn from him. Notice what it says back in the passage of scripture that we started with in the beginning of this. Go back over to the Gospel of Luke. And I want us to notice something here. Luke chapter 10. And notice what it says that she is doing as she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Luke chapter number 10. And notice verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And what did she do? Heard his word. So her purpose was to hear the word of God. And by the way, you can hear and you can listen. There's a difference. You can hear or you can listen. What is the main difference between hearing and listening? The main difference between hearing and listening? Ben? The listening, understand the comprehension. Now, how many of y'all hear your children throughout the day? But are we really listening? Listening says, I want to take in what you're saying to understand it, to be able to respond to it. If I don't listen, I can't respond. I can hear all day long. I mean, I hear noise all day long, but I don't respond to it because I'm not really listening. But when I listen, it's different. She is sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word. And I believe her goal is not just to hear it, but it's to listen and understand it and comprehend it. Why? So she can respond. So then we ask, that's why we ask the reason, the purpose. Why is she at the feet of Jesus? To hear his word so that she can respond to it. And notice what Jesus says to her in verse number 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall what? Not be taken away from her. Why? She's taking it in. She's taking it in. So why was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus? What was her goal? Her goal was not to look good to others. She wasn't sitting there because it was required. By the way, she was not trying to measure up to someone else. By the way, never come to church to measure up to someone else. Never read your Bible to measure up to someone else. The Bible says we're unwise. We measure ourselves by ourselves and we compare ourselves by ourselves. Never do what you do for someone else in that regard. By the way, God wants you to come because you love him and you want to learn about him and you want to please him. So it's not about what other people do, because if that were the case, then Mary was being shown up. Wouldn't you say so? Because Martha was busy. And that was the case. But she didn't care what Martha said. And so she wasn't trying to measure up to someone else's standard. The Bible tells us there were two primary reasons for her sitting at Jesus' feet. Number one, it was that spiritual purpose. But then she wanted to hear the word of God. But then it was that eternal purpose. It's not going to be taken away from her. By the way, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear the words of Christ. And she wasn't interested in standards or expectations of others, but because of Jesus. She had a need, obviously, in her heart that could only be filled by Jesus Christ. By the way, do we see the real purpose behind Bible study and being with the Lord? I don't know about you, but I have a need in my heart. I don't know about you. My heart is desperately wicked. And left to itself, I will do the unthinkable. I need the Lord. I need his word. And I need it before me every day. If I don't have it before me, the world around me will cave in upon me and take over. By the way, it'll take over in your life as well. If you don't have God's word, it's going to cave in. I mean, the world's going to cave in and take the place that God has. And it will consume you. By the way, the Bible talks about putting on the whole armor of God. What happens if we don't have the armor on? Get beat up, amen. Can you imagine sending our soldiers into battle without armor? No gun, no helmet, no boots. No shield. They're just going out there. Hey, how you doing? We come to fight the battle. What will happen as soon as they walk on the front line? They'll be dead. Many a Christian is dead before he even reaches his destination, because we don't put the armor on. And so Mary here is trying to make sure she's got this armor on. She's spending some time with Jesus to feel in her heart that only he could feel. And so she's trying to get this spiritual relationship done. By the way, it's serving a good thing, what Martha was doing. There's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. But what did Jesus say? One thing is needful. One thing is needful. The serving is great. And it's important to work for God. But one thing is needful. There's one priority that overrides everything, and it is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The book says this. Listen to this carefully. To get to the place where we are so busy, even if we're working in a ministry, that we do not have time to sit at Jesus' feet robs us of the peace of his presence and leaves us vulnerable to stress. Read that again. To get to the place where we are so busy, even we are working in a ministry, that we do not have time to sit at the feet of Jesus robs us of the peace of his presence and leaves us vulnerable to stress. We have no time to stop and listen to his voice. We are too busy. Mary recognized the power of the word of God. Now, we already know we should work for God. Now, if I am working for God, what is it going to require to work for God? Ms. Dawson? Amen. Requires getting close to him to get direction like Mary did, to know what I need to do. And by the way, you can A, minister in your own strength, of which it will wear you out, or you can B, minister in the power of God. Which one is beneficial? Ministering in the power of God. If I minister in my own strength, that means I'm not following what God has told me to follow, which means that I am forfeiting the spirit of God's power in my life. And that's dangerous. And so Mary is not so busy. By the way, in her eyes, the dishes could wait because her time with Jesus was the first priority. How many of y'all are like many others? You wake up in the first morning and the house is in a disarray and you cannot stand a house that's in disarray. And so you go clean up the whole house and you're tired within about an hour. Anybody like that? Amen. Sometimes the kids may leave this out or leave that out. Husband may leave this out. Or maybe you go to bed, you don't wash dishes or whatever. And you cannot function until it's cleaned up. There are many people like that. They will either A, do it before they go to bed, or B, do it when they get up in the morning. And when you do that, what normally happens to your spiritual time with the Lord? Don't have time. Give you leftovers. Why is that the case oftentimes? Not seeking God first, but why can't I just seek God afterwards? I'm tired, amen. Tired could be, amen. What else happens normally? When you start doing other things first, Diana? I could be doing it in my own strength, possibly. What else is possible to happen? Yes. Other interruptions, and so it goes longer than you anticipated. Bev, you going to say something?
I was going to say you get distracted.
And inevitably, in the home, there's always going to be something else vying for your attention that needs to be done. You're doing this, then you look over there, and then you start doing that, but you still got to come back to this. And then on your way back to that, you saw that, and so you started doing that. And on your way back to this, you saw that, and you still got to go back and do that. And now the tick, 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 tick. You're like, oh, my soul, what time? And now I got to give God 5 minutes real quick. And what just happened? What happened? Martha set in. I got too busy. That's one of the things that I'm going to talk about here in a few moments, because the last thing you want to do is get too busy. They say there's some practical steps that will help us develop a passion for the Word of God that will encourage us to read and study the Scripture on a regular basis. And by the way, are you going to get something out of the Word of God every time you open its pages and begin to look into it? Every time you look in the Bible, are you always going to get something out of it? No. But what do you get out of it? I'm not going to get the understanding or the context or all that, but yet and still I'm reading it. What good does it do me? Lily? I could get knowledge, but now what if I read it though and I didn't get any? Maybe I was too tired. Maybe I was sleepy, but I got through it and I read it. As we say, I heard it, but I didn't listen. Does it really benefit me?
It's a habit.
It's a habit. It's a habit. I'm keeping consistency. Let's be honest. When we come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're not always in the right frame of mind. Would you say amen? And we don't always get what we should get out of those services. But guess what? Just coming gets me in the rhythm or the routine. Interject this. How about if you say, boss, I don't feel like going to work today. Is that going to wash? You'd be fired. I can just hear your kids now. I don't want to go to school today. What you going to tell them? You're going. But I don't feel like it. Diana? Obedience, what a word. I don't feel like it, but I do it. By the way, if I don't feel like it, I still should do it. Going to school, going to work, those things are going to benefit me in the long run. It's going to get me in that habit. Some of you wake up at the same time every morning because like clockwork, you know you've got to be at the job or wherever, and boom, it happens just like that. What are you? You've got a habit. So it is with the word of God. If I don't build up that habitual practice, I will never get any consistency. I will never get anything out of it. Well, preacher, I didn't get anything. Trust me, you will. You will. Here's a comment that was in the book here. And this was said by Gypsy Smith. The great evangelist Gypsy Smith said a man came to him saying, I've gone through the Bible several times and received no inspiration. The godly preacher replied, let it go through you once and you will tell a different story. So in other words, said, I've gone through it, didn't do anything for me. He said, let it go through you. Listen and apply it. By the way, you cannot do the word of God without having an effect. Can I get an amen? It's an impossibility. I tell our children all the time, the Bible just says children obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't tell us that we have to give you an explanation as to why. Well, that's not fair. You take it up with God. Because God said, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. He didn't say whether they give you an explanation or not. Now, can you answer why? Yes, you can. Do you have to answer why? No, you don't. By the way, if your boss tells you to be at work at such and such a time, do you ask why? You can, but guess what your boss said? Because I said so. It's that or pink slip. Amen. So here are a couple of practical, helpful steps to help us. First of all, they say, have determination. Refuse to miss a single day. And they give you Job 23:12. Let's look that up, Job 23:12. And these are some steps to help improve our relationship like Mary had to sit at the feet of Jesus. Job 23:12. Let's look that up. I know that's in your book, but let's look that up in your Bibles. Who's got Job 23:12 that can read that? Job 23:12. Go ahead, Takesha. Wow. How many of y'all ate this morning? How many of y'all going to eat today? Is there anyone in here that's not going to eat some food today? Now, Brother Scott may not because he's got surgery tomorrow. That's different. But are we going to skip a meal today? Most of us, no. Are some of us only going to have one meal? Some are only going to have one. Are some going to have two? Most are going to have two. Are some going to have three? Some may have three and then some snacks on top of that. How many of y'all plan on having dessert? I do. I plan on having dessert. If I don't have the meal, I'm going to have my dessert. Amen. But notice what he said down there. Job said 23:12. Neither have I gone back. Verse 10, he says this. But let's go back up a little bit because he's talking about his relationship with God. Notice what he says in verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Do we have days like that when sometimes you just don't know where God is at, what he's doing, how he's operating? Things just seem all over the place. You're thinking, my kids aren't doing right. My husband's not doing right. My wife's not doing right. The teacher's not doing right. The boss is not doing right. The coworkers aren't doing right. Nobody's doing right. Everything's all wrong. God, where are you at in this mess? Sometimes we think that way. But notice what he says down there, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, I can't see him, but you know what he said? But he sees me. And so being consistent says, you know what? God, I can't see you, but I'm so glad you see me. I'm so glad you see me. I'm going to be consistent in what I'm doing. Even though I can't see you, you see me. Notice verse 11. My foot hath held to his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. And neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, I needed more than I need my food. He said, I've got to eat, but I need this more. By the way, more spending time in the word of God is our highest priority. And don't ever let it become optional. It should always be determination. If we eat every day, it should be the same way. Somebody get Luke 4:4 for me. Luke 4:4. So the first help that they give you is to have determination. Mary had determination. Who's got Luke 4:4? Go ahead, Brother Shirk. Amen. So he says, not just your physical food, but you need the word of God. So that means that every day I've got to be in the word of God. The day that I'm not in the word of God, the devil's going to whoop me up good. Amen. If I've got to physically eat every day, spiritually, I've got to eat every day. So the first help here then is making it a priority, having some determination. But then the second priority they give you is this. Pray for understanding as you read. Now, we already said that this, we're not going to always get something out of it. I mean, even sometimes when you pray, you may not get anything out of it. By the way, why do we not get something out of the word sometimes other than fatigue? Because most of us suffer from fatigue, amen? Why do we not get something out of the word of God? And why do I have to pray for understanding? Was that? Could be sin. What did you say, sis? Thoughts. My thoughts maybe are going in a different direction. Who do I need to help me understand the word of God? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is to give me the understanding, what do I have to do? I heard somebody say yield. Yield. You can have a classroom of students here, and you can have an instructor here, and the instructor is giving everybody the same instructions. One's watching the clock. One's watching the blackboard. One is looking at their pencil, tapping and dabbling and doodling. And the other one is intently looking at the teacher. Which one's going to learn and understand? The one that's paying attention. The one that's giving their undivided attention. They're saying, look, I'm not having any other distractions here. I want you to have all of me. And so the Spirit of God has got to have all of you. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to understand. You ever listen to people? I read the Bible. I didn't get nothing out of it. Ever been one of those people? My wife sometimes say, well, honey, what'd you read this morning? Honestly, I don't recall what I read this morning. I really don't. And she said, well, I read this and I read it. Oh, yeah, now I remember. Yeah, it was about this and this and this and this. You know what happened? The Spirit of God didn't really impact me with the word that I read like it should have. I remembered it. I heard it. But I didn't put it in to live it out. Amen. And so the second thing there after determination is comprehension. Pray for understanding. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Let's turn over there. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Again, this is a victory over stress. Psalm 119 and verse 18. 119 and verse 18. Who's got that one? 119:18. Rose? Amen. So the psalmist said, Lord, I need my eyes open so that I can behold what's there. By the way, do we need to say that to God? Yes. What's our goal? Holy Spirit, give me some understanding. Do we have physical eyes? Yes. What do we need to see the Word of God with? Spiritual eyes. God has spiritual eyes. This is a living book. And I've got to have spiritual eyes to see it. And I've got to have more to actually live it out. And so the psalmist here says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so the second thing there is, after I am refusing to miss a single day by determination, that I'm going to pray for understanding or have some comprehension. And then the third thing that they list here is have a special time daily in the Word. How many of you have a special time every day that you get in the Word of God? Amen. What is the benefit of having that special time? What's the benefit of having a special time every day? Amen. Everything is put aside. By the way, how many of y'all got a certain time you got to be at work? What's the benefit of that? You can schedule other things around it because you know where you're going to be at. From 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I'm going to be at work. From 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock, the kids are going to be at school. From this time to this time, I know what time I've got blocked out for God. And so now I can plan because I know that time is there. And so the third thing behind determination and comprehension is make it a day without hesitation. Make a special time in the Word without hesitation. Make it an appointment, just like you would anything else on the schedule. I remember when I found out that my hair had just fallen out and I had all these spots on my head. And I thought I was dying. I thought, I'm dying. I mean, can you imagine? You go to the barber and you shave all your... Actually, my dad had cut my hair because my dad used to cut my hair. And I had just come back from college. And I said, well, Dad, you know, I've got a receding hairline in the back. I said, that's odd to have a receding. And most people, it recedes up front. You know, you get that crest here, you get the here. I had a crest back here, and I thought, that's odd. I said, Dad, just shave it all off. I said, I'll go back to college with it all shaved off, and it'll be fine. And my dad shaved it off, and he just gave me a mirror. And I looked in the mirror, and I thought, Dime-sized spots were all over my head. And I thought, oh, my soul. I said, Dad, I think I'm going to die. I got cancer. Now, I was ignorant. I didn't know what cancer was. I just knew that cancer folks normally were bald. And I thought, I'm going to die. I said, I think I got cancer. You know what I did? I made an appointment to go to the doctor. And you know what I did with that appointment? I skipped it and blew it off. No, I didn't. I didn't blow it off. I said, look, I'm keeping this appointment. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what's wrong with me. I want to know what this problem is. I mean, I was early to the appointment. I went in. Doc, what's wrong? What's going on here? Am I going to die? And he said, no, you have alopecia areata. And I thought, okay, and your point is? In the world is that? He said, it's male pattern baldness without a pattern. I thought, huh? I said, so what brings it on? He said, autoimmune deficiency. He said, your body recognizes your hair as something foreign and it kicks it out. And that's what normal male patterns baldness does. He said, yours is just that, doesn't have any pattern to it. Why did I keep that appointment? It was important to me. I was concerned. And so the third thing that they say you've got to do is make sure without hesitation you keep daily appointments with God. You don't let anything stop it. It's got to be as important to you as a doctor's appointment or a dental appointment or any other appointment that is going to be severe consequences if you don't go. By the way, do we all need to meet with God daily? Yes, we do. And so to avoid stress, they say, do what Mary did. Have some determination. Refuse to miss a single day. Pray for comprehension. Get some understanding. Then have a special time daily, making an appointment without hesitation. Then the fourth thing they give you is rise early to be with the Lord. Have some morning meditation. Morning meditation. How many of y'all are morning people? I am not a morning person. I am not. Now I can stay up late nights. but get up early. My wife and I are absolute opposites. My wife can go to bed at 7 o'clock in the evening. At 7 o'clock, my eyes are about this big. Even if I tried to lay down, I'd be like, what are you doing laying down this time of the day? My wife can go to bed at 7 o'clock, boom. And she gets her 8 hours of sleep, boom, she's up bright and early. Woo! I can, even if I go to bed early, I still wake up like, my soul. Coffee. The kids, I walk around the house, Dad, you didn't even see us. How you doing? I'm not a morning person. But there's one thing that I do every morning, and I beat my flesh up. I get up in the morning, read my Bible, and study my Bible. And you're talking to the king of not early. I mean, if the kids are out of school, they'll be out of school next week. I'm not getting up at 5 o'clock like I normally do. But then I found something. When I don't get up at 5 o'clock like I normally do and the kids are out of school, the unthinkable happens. What is that? The kids seem to wake up at 5 o'clock. It's like, what in the world are y'all doing up? You just sleep in. I got to get with God. But now you're up. And faith is normally the main one. I mean, faith, time to go to school. If there's no school, faith is up, knocking on the door. Daddy, I need a tissue. Go to the bathroom. Mommy, is this okay to wear? I'll find out when we get up. What time is breakfast, Daddy? When we cook it. Like, now when it's time for school, you can't get up to save your soul. And so I've learned that if I don't get up early on those days off, then something's going to happen. It's called kids. And it's called I need, I want, please give me, and I especially don't want to be up by myself. Especially we watch Scrooge now, they're all afraid of Marley's ghost. And they definitely don't want to be up by themselves. Nor do they want to be downstairs by themselves. Amen. And so it says, finally rise early. Notice Mark 1:35. Let's go over there. Rising early, Mark 1:35. And I don't know about you, but I found that rising early is the best way for me to get my time in with the Lord and staying up late. Mark 1:35. Who's got that one there? Mark 1:35. Lilia? Amen. So rising up a great while before day, he went out, it says, and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And it's going to prepare you and I. So some morning meditation is necessary. If Jesus had to do it, what about us? By the way, may I say this, that if you do set out to get up early, it's going to be a spiritual battle. May I interject this? Your flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. Your flesh doesn't want to pray. Your flesh doesn't want to understand the Bible. You say, preacher, why not? It is contrary and contradictory to everything that is God. Now, if you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God in you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You've got Spirit. Now, you've got the Spirit of God in you, but what else do you have in you? The flesh. And so while the Spirit wants to read, what does the flesh want to do? It doesn't want to read. If the Spirit wants to pray, what doesn't the flesh want to do? The Bible says these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So who's going to win? The one you feed the most. Now, by the way, does that minimize the power of God? That doesn't minimize. God is still God. God is always going to be God. And God living in you is still going to be God. What does the Bible say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So God's power has not changed. You know what changed? Who I gave ownership to. It's marked down that if I give the Spirit of God 100% control of my body, my mind, my heart, I'm going to do the right thing. It's already been written. It's done. But it's also concluded that if I live for the flesh, I'm going to be doomed. So now the choice says, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve the Lord by giving the spirit control? Or am I going to serve the flesh by giving the flesh control? Now, which one am I going to let control me? Which one am I going to let control me? And why? Key scripture should come to mind. Which one am I going to let control me? The spirit or the flesh? And why? Okay, walk in the spirit, you should not feel the lust of the flesh, and she's got part of it right there. Which one is going to get control? Whichever one I desire. That's what lust is. It's a desire. It can be a desire for that which is good or a desire for that which is bad. Now, what's going to control my desires? What's going to control my desire or my lust? Anybody? What's going to control my lust or my desire? How about that which I see, that which I watch, that which I listen to? That's going to control my desires. By the way, if I'm constantly in this book, my desires will more than likely be godly desires if I'm letting this book have me and me have this book. If I'm not in this book, my desires are going to be fleshly at best, because everything coming in is carnal and it's not spiritual. My thought process, what does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever is here, and what's here is what comes in. You already know this thing is wicked. It's desperately wicked. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if I'm feeding it wickedness and carnality, what do you think it's going to be? And what is my desire going to be? Is it going to be for the things of God? No. And so it behooves me then to rise early, to be with the Lord, making sure I go to a solitary place and getting stressed. And why? This is a spiritual battle. By the way, you're going to face people today. You're going to face people tomorrow and the rest of this week that are contrary to the Bible. The only way to defeat them is through the word of God. Can you control them? No. The only one you can control is you. Your reactions. And so those are four tips that they give you. Morning meditation. And number three is making sure that I have some plans without hesitation, daily time seeking the Lord. And then comprehension, asking the Lord for understanding. And then determination, making it something that I do every day. Starting our day with God prepares us for all stress we will face during that day. If I'm not prepared for the stress, I'm going to fail. Read you these last two captions and we'll be done. Eternal purpose. It says Mary could not lose the things she received sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was gaining that which would last forever. And Jesus said that Mary had chosen that part that shall not be taken away for her. Any investment we make in spending time with the Lord is an eternal investment. Focusing on the things of eternal importance helps remove stress of daily living. By the way, when you spend time with the Lord, it really enhances your relationship with him. Sister Shireen just had her son go off to college. As soon as he was gone, sister, how'd you feel?
Mixture of emotions. I mean, I was excited for him, but felt like a big hole was missing.
That presence wasn't there. Now, we know we can Facebook and we can chat. We can do all those things. But the presence, especially when they go through hard times, I can't hold them. I can't console them. I can't rub them on the back of the neck or whatever that thing that I do. When the presence is there, and that's gone. When my wife is not with me, that presence is not there. It's different. And so the eternal presence that she is getting at the feet of Jesus, unlike Martha flittering around and running here and there, Mary could have that focus on her Lord right there. End with this conclusion. It says, there will always be things competing for our attention, but there is one thing that is needful. There will always be stress that clamors to draw our attention away from God. We must stay at the feet of Jesus continually. There we will find refreshment for our soul and spirit and victory over stress. By the way, there and only there. Now, you can do a whole lot of other things to relieve your stress, but the only eternal thing that's going to last is going to be that time with the Lord. Amen. We're going to end there next week. Next week we won't be here. No, we'll be here for the next 2 weeks. But we're going to start victory over culture. And I want to give you the memory verse of 2 Timothy 1:7. A verse that we've memorized before when we studied fear in the first chapter. But I'll give it to you again, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say, preacher, why would you give us that? Because you and I have got to get to the point to understand that this culture can become fearsome to us. We don't want to stand for God. We don't want to stand alone. We don't want to speak up for Jesus Christ. We don't want to witness sometimes. We don't want to read in public. We don't want to pray in public. We don't want to carry our Bibles. And we've got to understand that God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. The person that stood out in my squadron was Tony Wells. Why? Tony Wells was different. And for us to get the victory over culture, you and I are going to have to remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so we'll go through victory over culture. By the way, is our culture changing? Yes, it is. Is it more wicked than the culture of days gone by? I wouldn't say it's more wicked, but I would say this: sin is more readily accessible to the sinful heart. The heart's always been sinful, so that's not changed. But we have the accessibility to sin now greater than ever before. Sir? Good point. And that's why that power is so necessary. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Why? I was just me and Carmen went shopping yesterday with our time, and I saw three couples. Two ladies here, two ladies there, buying some furniture, buying this. And one of them I had to look. I said, honey, is that a lady? Two ladies shopping furniture. Two ladies over here shopping for furniture. Then I went to another store. And I said, I need such and such and blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, let me call for the manager. Ashley, come here. And I looked and I thought, I don't see no Ashley down there. There's two guys down there. And he looked. He said, yeah, Ashley. He's my man. Ashley, come here. And so Ashley comes down with short hair, and it was a man. And Ashley said, oh, what do you need? I thought, just as feminine as they come, and with the name of Ashley. And I thought, my soul, it's so acceptable. As sir, it's so acceptable. It's becoming commonplace. And now your children and my children are being taught to accept it as just as valid as anything else. Yes, Ms. Austin. Wow. Mrs. Dawson said that she heard Southern Baptists now accepting transvestites and all those in places of ministry now, which doesn't surprise me. Anybody else hear that? Southern Baptists accepting that? I know it's been in a lot of the Protestant religions. It's been noted already that they are doing that. They've got, the gay preachers and pastors and this, that, and the other. And so our culture is being inundated to accept it, that this is normal. This is normal. And, my son saw a picture of Michael Jordan the other day. And he was all elated with Michael Jordan. Look at this, blah, blah. Then he saw Michael Jordan with an earring. He said, oh, he's got an earring. I said, son, keep that. I said, keep that. I said, because we're so accustomed to every man having an earring now, it's nothing. I said, keep that. It should just put you in a state of, oh, he's got an earring. Even though in biblical times they had them as well, but it was always a symbol of worldliness. I'm just saying. Well, the earring doesn't make the man. No, it doesn't make him. It doesn't make him anything, but it sure says something. It sure says a statement. Well, that doesn't reveal his heart. I beg to differ. Yes, it does. And we won't talk any more about that right now, but amen. Yes, Rose? Yes, ma'am. We won't be back for the next 2 weeks, so 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and sound power and love and a sound mind. And that's going to be a victory over culture. 2 Timothy 1:7. Amen. Father, thank you.